Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans. Welcome to episode 145 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. I'm your host. Got a good show. Always good to catch up with my guy, Dallin Stanford. But before we get into the interview portion of the show, we're going to start the show off with the breakdown. Breakdown is brought to you by O'Neill's. O'Neill's is the official sportswear supplier to the biggest teams in world rugby, Infinity Park, and the American Raptors. Shop apparel now at O'Neill's.com. That's O-N-E-I-L-L-S.com. So starting off the breakdown with a little chatter about the American Raptors. So obviously talking about the Challenge Cup of the Americas. Got rolling last week. First match did not go so hot for the Raptors as they fell 69-0 to the Jaguares. Nice. I know. I get it. I saw that on the internet 1 million times. But they ran into a freight train. They got an up-close view of what some of the best rugby players in Argentina has to offer, what that looks like. So it's never fun to end up on the wrong side of a scored line like this, but they will learn from it and they'll be better for it. And they get a chance to redeem themselves, bounce-back match with as they take on Peñarol on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. to wrap up the Challenge Cup of the Americas and their spring season. This is the last match of the spring, so after this, the Raptors will be off for the summer. Report back right after Rugby Town Sevens. The date I've heard is August 29th. Tickets are available on infinitypark@glendale.com, and you can live stream this match on the same website or AmericanRaptors.com. If that's easy, for you to remember. But come out and watch or check them out online, stream the match, check out these Raptors before the Avs play, because this will be your last chance for a few months. So we'll talk a little bit more about the Challenge Cup of the Americas and kind of how it went for the American Raptors when we get into the conversation with Dallin. But kind of just what we talked about is like one of the things I think they can be proud of is they really were playing pretty stingy defense. They defended for, the first 26, 27 minutes of the match. Jaguares got a pretty quick try off a turnover in the first minute or two. But the Raptors settled down a little bit. Dallin brought up a good point that they're just having some trouble securing their lineouts. So even when they did make good plays or they did, force Jaguares into committing penalties and they would, execute their kicks and they would make up some territory, it would come to the lineout and the lineout would either get stolen or overthrown or something. So the lineout just really was not helping them out a lot that day. So you're taking away your chances, to get points and move the ball, and you're giving Jaguares extra chances, which is not going to be good. So the Raptors just ended up playing a lot of defense. They didn't win the territory or the possession battle, and ultimately that wears you down. You can only defend for so long, and then when you get the ball, you're tired. And then eventually the dam breaks, and the Raptors found themselves drinking from a fire hose as that match went along. But the first 26, 27 minutes of the match was okay for the Raptors. They did play tough defense. They were able to move the ball a little bit. And I think if they look at the tape and they make some adjustments, I think that this match against Peñarol this weekend will be a winnable one. I tweeted that last week. The match between Peñarol and the University of British Columbia Old Boys Ravens was much more the Raptors' speed. Peñarol is much more of a developmental side. This is not the side that won the SLAR this year. They brought a much younger team. It'll be good for the Raptors to see a little bit of different brand of rugby and also be in a match that they have a shot in too. So I'm looking forward to seeing that on Saturday. Make sure you check it out. Like I said, buy tickets if you want to come check it out in person before the Avs play or just stream it online at AmericanRaptors.com or InfinityParkAtGlendale.com. So check out the Raptors before they break for the summer because this will be your last chance for a few months. Moving into the Major League Rugby section of the breakdown, got conference finals weekend. Both Seattle Seawolves and Rugby New York won their eliminator matches pretty handily last weekend, and it sets up a pretty interesting conference final weekend. We've got two teams in Rugby New York and the Seawolves that have been in this position before. Rugby New York has played in the last two, I think, Eastern Conference finals, and the Seawolves, of course, have won the first two Major League Rugby championships, so you have to win a semifinal match to get to that point. And then won a finals match before. And funnily enough, the two that haven't been in this position and their opponents, and Houston Sabercats in the West and the New England Free Jacks in the East, they've never been here before, and they're this weekend's host. So that's two newcomers. They're hosting the old vets, the guys that have been there before. So it should make for a fun weekend. Again, we'll talk a little bit more about this with Dallin later in the show, and of course we'll get into all that after all the rugby you can watch this weekend, which is brought to you by Wintergreen. Wintergreen loves rugby and wants to support USA Rugby's mission of uniting an inclusive, passionate rugby community to grow the sport of rugby in America. Wintergreen gels, creams, sprays, and soaks are made with wintergreen oil and other therapeutic natural oils that will help to soothe and support sore muscles and joints to keep you at your best. Visit wintergreensport.com to purchase the products you need to help you prepare to win. Starting off with the Challenge Cup of the Americas, we got University of British Columbia Old Boys Ravens versus Jaguares on Saturday at 1 p.m. That's pretty much the final for this competition. Whichever team wins that will win the trophy, because both of those teams won last week, so it should make for an exciting match, and hopefully the Ravens can keep it close and entertaining. But I fully anticipate Jaguares to run away with it. And we got American Raptors versus Peñarol on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. You can catch both matches on infinityparkatglendale.com or on americanraptors.com. There will be a pop-up on both sites, I've been told. We got the Major League Rugby Conference Finals, Western Conference Final. We got the Seattle Seawolves at the Houston SaberCats on Saturday at 5 p.m. on Fox Sports 2. And then Rugby New York at Rugby ATL on Sunday at 1 p.m. also on Fox Sports 2. So make sure you tune into both of those matches. Should be fun. Always fun when there's a championship on the line, when there's a chance to play for a championship on the line. Stakes are just a little bit higher, obviously. Winner go home, that makes for some exciting matches. So check all that out. We've got the Pacific Four series still going on. Should be the last week, if I'm not mistaken. We've got Australia versus Canada on Friday at 7:30 p.m. And then New Zealand versus USA Women on Saturday at 10 p.m. USA Women picked up a big win over Australia last week. So it would be a nice bow tie if they could knock off New Zealand this week. Catch that on world.rugby. It's World Rugby's website. Premiership Rugby Finals, Saracens versus Leicester on Saturday at 8 a.m. So you want to get up early, go watch that on Peacock. And then we got Super Rugby Pacific. We got the final between the Blues and the Crusaders. Could it be any other way? Could it be between any two other teams? It's on Saturday at 1:05 a.m. Watch on Flow Rugby. Up the Blues. I'm a Blues guy, as I said on last week's show. And then this is not on my list, but I wanted to shout out Brendan Shea, guest from last week, hosting Denver Sevens at Prospect Park in Wheat Ridge. Go Farmers. So if you're looking for something to do Saturday, some other rugby in the morning before you head on out to Infinity Park, go check out the Denver Sevens at Prospect Park. Let's go ahead and move into the interview portion of the show. This interview with World Rugby commentator Dallin Stanford is brought to you by Guard Lab. Join the mouthguard revolution with American-made mouthguards that perform, protect, and recover. For more information, visit guardlab.com. Always great to catch up with my guy, Dallin. We covered the Challenge Cup of the Americas, Major League Rugby, and how a tornado almost got him stuck at DIA on Sunday afternoon. We'll dive into all that and much more right now. So let's kick it to my interview with World Rugby commentator Dallin Stanford. All right, now welcome back onto the show. Very special guest, World Rugby commentator, Major League Rugby commentator, voice of Infinity Park, Dallin Stanford. I think I got all your jobs in there, Dallin. Is that about right?
Yes, absolutely, my friend. I've got a million different hands and a million different pies, just trying to keep busy.
Yes, that's a good thing to be. So, Dallin, first question I got to ask you, did you escape Denver without a sunburn this weekend? It was a hot one.
Luckily, with the commentating booth area was in the shade, I did escape, but I almost got caught in a tornado.
Yeah, that was going to be what I was saying. You almost didn't escape at all, this tornado warning at the airport or something.
Yeah, so Colton, so basically I've been to Denver now, calling, the 30 Park games for many, many years. And I suppose in my decade of being there, this is the very first time I actually had to go into one of the some staircases in the stairwell area to seek safety out of this tornado warning. It was quite a thrill. Luckily, no tornado came, and we're all good to go. But definitely a first.
Yeah, I know. I was working in the garage on Sunday. I had the radio on, and they kept saying on the radio that there was a confirmed tornado just north of DIA, and then I jumped on Instagram later and I saw you were documenting it in your story, so I felt very part of the process. But I'd never heard of that either. I've lived here my whole life. I can think I've probably flown out DIA 500 times. I've never ever got caught in a tornado, so that was an interesting peek behind the curtain there, is the process of what you do when there's a tornado out there.
Exactly. Well, there was a local, this is funny, I go back up to my gate and there's a lady that sits next to me, and she says, I didn't move the whole time. I go, oh wow, okay. And she goes, no, I'm from Denver, and these normally pass all the way through. I'm like, okay, well, you're a local.
Yes, yeah. I don't know if I would have done that, but good for her. I'm glad that she was okay. So, Dallin, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the rugby now. So, obviously, inaugural Challenge Cup of the Americas, first day of the tournament was this last Saturday. Two matches that took place. Just kind of want to get your impression, get your thoughts on the first day of the Challenge Cup of the Americas.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great that these teams are able to come together, you know, from Uruguay and Argentina, Canada, and then of course the American Raptors, the local side. So yeah, I think it's a lovely idea, great concept. You know, having two weekends where these teams get to play each other. They get to train all week at Infinity Park, a brilliant facility. So overall, it was great to be involved in the broadcast. I thought it went pretty well. Obviously, the game itself, if you want to get into that about yeah. The first game, yeah, the American Raptors, you know. That was always going to be a challenge. Having crossover athletes into the American Raptors program is a brilliant concept. And of course, it's going really well. But anytime you play against a very, very experienced rugby nation like Argentina, who have been fantastic, over the last decade, and their squad they brought through just when I was prepping for the bios, you've got they're one of the front row forwards capped 11 times for Argentina. They have Olympian on the wing in Ignacio Mendy that scored a couple of brilliant tries. He played for the Argentine Sevens team. And then Lautaro Bassan-Velez, who was also with the Argentine Sevens team for 5 or 6 years, who now will be playing for the Pumas national side in July in the test match window. So you've got those players, and then you've got players bubbling under that, have obviously picked up a rugby ball when they were 5 years old. So
right. You
could tell you could tell that it was the experience of knowing rugby your whole life versus newer players that were, some of them less than 6 months or less than a year experience.
Right. Yeah. For those unfamiliar, the Jaguares beat American Raptors 69-0 in that first match of the Challenge Cup of the Americas on Saturday afternoon. And that was going to be my first question that I asked you about it, Dallin, is just kind of if you thought that did boil down to experience, and that kind of sounds like what you're saying. So I guess I'll move to the next question. Is just a couple of positives that you think the Raptors can take out of a match like that? I know it's always hard when you're on the wrong side of a big scoreline like that. But one of the things that kind of caught my eye, like you could tell from the beginning that they were going to have their hands full. Jaguares scored on a turnover inside their own zone pretty early on in the match. But then after that, you could like they kind of settled down. The Raptors were never, in favorable territory weren't on the right side of the possession either. But they did hold them to 7 points for about the first half hour of the match. I think they didn't score again till the 26th or 27th minute. But eventually when you just keep defending like that, you just get worn down. Is that kind of a positive you could take away from the match? Is that you were able to hang with them a little bit for there, at the beginning? Or is there something else that kind of sticks out to you?
Yeah, I think the great thing about this is you really get a proper sense of being tested against a good rugby nation and a good team. And so, the Raptors they put up some big scores, right? You look at the score sheets, it was 100 points the Raptors put against Seattle. So those kind of games, which unfortunately are lopsided in favor of you winning that way, you don't learn a lot at all. But you do learn in your defeats, and it doesn't have to be a big defeat, it just happened to be a bigger one. But couple of things I think what's important. The American Raptors had possession and several times they were able to kick their penalty, towards the touchline and have an attacking lineout. The lineout needs to be, solidified. If that lineout can be an attacking weapon, you will see the American Raptors are able to get on the board a lot easier. And so hopefully this week, that's what they've been working on at that set piece point, because the lineout is something that they can technically get really well and really, near perfect. So what happened a lot of times is that anytime there was an attacking lineup for the Raptors, the Argentine side either jumped in front of them or pinched it or the throw wasn't accurate. So not only did the Jaguares then have their own possession that they got, but they got plenty of the American Raptors. So in essence, the Raptors were defending for, as you pointed out, maybe, 70% of the game.
Yeah.
And it's very tough to defend for 70%, because when you do then have possession, you're tired and can't get over the advantage line. So I think it really that it starts with that. And the other positive is that, they obviously know that playing against a better side like that, there are a lot of little technical areas each player can look at. And so that's kind of great. So it doesn't matter what position you were this past weekend, the American Raptor player can see, oh, okay, I can see what my opposite number did. How did they evade me? What sort of skill sets did they use? What sort of attributes did they have? Because they weren't necessarily bigger, but they were just more experienced, so that's why you asked that question in the last one. So definitely a lot of good positives. You know, and Paul Emmerich even said to himself, he said, we obviously need to take all these learning lessons, but put into practice. We have to be, and then not make those same mistakes again next weekend.
Yeah. I mean, even for me, just, you know, from an observer's perspective, I watched a little bit of that from the sideline in the first half and then moved up a little bit higher. Like, it just is a different game. Like, it just a different speed. It just looked so much different because, you know, we don't get the chance to see that, you know, that caliber of rugby, you know, right in front of our faces all the time either. So that was cool enough for me to see. But you could just tell, yeah, like you said, the experience was the difference maker, and it was very apparent, you know, in the match on Saturday. So down, moving on to the next one, we had University of British Columbia Old Boys Ravens against Peñarol. They beat a young Peñarol team 23-14. Just kind of wondering what stuck out to you in this match. It was a lot closer. It was Peñarol was up by 1 point at halftime. Just kind of wondering what stuck out to you in this one.
Yeah, this one was tight. This one was a tight encounter till right near the end. And really the difference between the two sides, you mentioned the age of the Peñarol side. So, of course, the really cool thing about this club is that they were the SLA champions. And obviously the team that came on tour was a very young, there were 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds in their side. So it's good for the Uruguayans to develop their rugby players going on. But saying that, they were physically, the players were a lot smaller. And so they were out-muscled at times. Mm-hmm. You could definitely see that even at scrum time as well against the Raven side from Canada. But what stood out for me was the Canadian fly half had a couple of brilliant plays, as did the scrum half. And those two individual players ended up, you know, being involved and getting two tries on the board, which was the difference between the two teams in the end. So, but I do think, you know, it's kind of great that we have different styles of play all coming to Infinity Park, right? Because yeah, the Uruguayan way of playing was different to the Jaguares, which is different to the Canadians, and of course the Raptors as well, a different style too. So I think it's going to be it sets up a really interesting final weekend.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. You know, as if for people unfamiliar again, so essentially what will happen is it'll switch. So the Raptors will take on Peñarol this weekend, and then University of British Columbia Old Boys Ravens will take on Jaguares and, you know, with the Ravens and Jaguares both winning their matches, that sets up for a good one with the trophy on the line. So that'll be cool to see. So just kind of what do you think about these next round of matches, Dallin? It's just kind of watching that second match, seeing how, you know, Peñarol and the Ravens kind of stacked up. That seems to be a little bit more of the Raptors' speed. And I know I said on Twitter, looks like a match that the Raptors could win. Is that something you kind of feel the same way about?
Yes, you're spot on with that. I think it's what it's going to come down to. It will be the tweaks the Raptors obviously make a training this week. And also for me, it's going to be their fitness and stamina. How fresh will these Raptors be when they play on the weekend? If they bring their usual freshness and speed and agility, they will do really well. And they could scorch Peñarol because I know that the Raptors have got some very dangerous players. They just weren't able to get the space, weren't able to exploit the space. And, you know, and of course, when you end up tackling, putting 200 tackles in during a game, you're going to be tired. So I think this could be a really good game for the Raptors. Peñarol, obviously, they will also need to work on some things to be a bit sharper with their backline as well. But I'm going to go Raptors in that game. And the next game, the Jaguares will be challenged more against the more experienced Raven side, of course, than the American Raptors. But I still think that Jaguares side is excellent. And they were still, you know, getting into their shapes. So I think it could be another, you know, a 40-pointer for the Jaguares winning that one.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that if we were, you know, setting lines, Jaguars would be heavy, heavy favorites. But I'm excited to see. And I was going to ask you too, Dallin, do you think there is some value in, you know, say you have a two-match set like this and you do end up on the wrong side of a big scoreline, there has to be like a little bit of relief moving into the second game, right? Like it almost in a way, like it can't get much worse, right? You took your lumps, now you can kind of put it behind you and you know, play a little bit looser, I guess. That's kind of the vibe I get. Is there some truth to that?
Yeah, look, I would say this, you know, any team, when they get defeated, and again, it could be a close game or a big one, you improve. It's natural, right? And mm-hmm. So I bet you if the Raptors played the Jaguares 15, 10 times, the scoreline would progressively get tighter, which is great, which is what you want, right? And so, yeah, nobody wants to lose by a big score. Some people, you know, as you said, on social media were like, oh, what's the point of this game? Well, the point is you also never know when you play a team how you're going to fare up. Exactly. And how you're going to be. And so, like, the point is you have to put these things on, because You know, the Jaguares would have gotten a good lesson out of that. They would have tried some of their combinations together, and the Raptors would have got a real wake-up call, which is good. So you'll see them rebound this next week. And as you said, they would study the film of Peñarol and know their areas of weakness in that team that they can attack. And that's the great thing about rugby, is that just because you've had a performance that, you know, you might not be satisfied with, you always have the next game. And that's why I love that Infinity Park is having back-to-back weekends. And again, who knows? The Ravens could even surprise Jaguares in the first 60 minutes of that game. You can never be overconfident, and at the same time, as you said, you have to earn that victory. So it'll be a great couple of games.
Yeah, and that's why you play the games, right? There's been plenty of instances in sports, you know, across every different sport across the world of you know, big heavy favorites that don't, maybe they have a bad day or whatever happens,
and that's right.
It's a lot closer than they anticipated, or they wind up losing. That's why you play the games, and that's why sports are fun. So I did see a lot of those comments on social media as well, and that's what I think you answered it perfectly. You play to learn. You play to see where you stand, you know, in the grand scheme of things. And you play to surprise people, too. You know, anything's possible. So moving
on. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I want to say, I'm really happy that, you know, a group like Infinity Park are putting and investing in rugby, because, you know, some people said, oh, well, why did they leave, you know, the Major League Rugby setup? Well, they had their own vision and own focus to do a different thing. And that's great. We want more people putting money into rugby, growing the game at any different level, right? And so it's only going to benefit the game in general. Like, we've seen a great poster boy story is David Still playing for the USA Sevens. If this program wasn't around, he would not be representing the United States. And then also unlocking the door for other players that are crossing over, that are coming through like that as well. And that's how Colin Isles got found out as well, and the Lev Kelters. Players that have played other American sports that have seen rugby, whether it's on TV or whether it's through the American Raptors, and thought, you know what, let me give that a try. And that's the great thing. There's so many, you know, diamonds out there that need to be found.
Yeah, no, you're preaching the choir, Dallin. I agree with you 100%. And I think it's easy to look at a scoreline like this and, you know, jump all over, you know, take the parade and beat your chest and do all that good stuff. But you're right. You know, in the long run, you look at the grand scheme of things, I think it's doing more good, certainly, than bad. And I'm glad that, you know, there is stuff like this going on. So I agree with you 100%. And I did want to take some time down and ask you about the MLR while we move into the Western Conference, Eastern Conference finals. I know you work very closely with the New England Free Jacks, so I wanted to make sure I ask you about a couple of those matches. And the first question I asked as we move into this Eastern Conference final with Rugby New York and going up to New England, take on the Free Jacks. What makes the Free Jacks so good? They've had a historically good season. They've achieved marks that haven't been achieved before in Major League Rugby. What makes them so good?
Yes, the Free Jacks have really impressed this year. And being around helping with some of their content creation on the media side, it's really cool to, you know, as a broadcaster, it's sometimes isolating because you only work with one other person. We're not in a full group, a team. But seeing the chemistry that these players have, the friendships that they've developed, their coaching staff and back-end staff have really enabled a, you know, all-hands-on-deck approach. There are no big egos in the team. And with that, I think that's important, right? That leads to buy-in on the field. And they have fun. And that's the thing. When you start having fun, yes, and you start getting some wins underneath your belt, things start going well for the group. They've obviously, had an unprecedented season, and playing at home is a major lift for them as well. Playing against New York is going to be, you know, thrilling. Spoke to some of the players today, and they were just, you know, you never have to get, there's nothing else has to be on the line when you're playing against New York, because that rivalry speaks for itself, right?
Yes.
And so the good thing how this tees up, Colton, is that New York won the last time, and they won at the Free Jacks home, ending their unbeaten run at home. So, like, there's a lot on the line for this game. And obviously, you know, either team would want to be, for the very first time, an Eastern Conference champion and go to the final, which for the Free Jacks, obviously, would be a remarkable finish. But they want to go one step further as well. They have the team to do it. They've got, their squad depth is fantastic. I think that's been key for them this season as well.
Yeah. I wanted to touch on something you said. It's so refreshing to hear that, you know, people having fun playing sports, because, you know, sports are a bottom line business, and ultimately it comes down to wins and losses. But at the end of the day, you know, it's supposed to be fun. Rugby's supposed to be fun. And that's always, you know, refreshing to hear teams actually having fun. It's not all, you know, so serious all the time, which is good.
Oh, yeah, and it's good. Classic. We were playing cricket before they sort of went onto the field. So, like, it's cool, you know, the energy and the enthusiasm, the vibe there is tough to create that environment. But once you kind of bring the right people in place that encourage that, you know, and there's always a balance, right? You want to have fun, but you don't want to mess around. So like, you know, it takes a certain personality right. type in the coaching realm to foster that. And they've got that. They've got that through Scott Matthey and Mike Rogers and Tom Kindly, you know, the performance manager as well, and Alex Magleby, the CEO. So as I said, it's like, it's all about getting the right people in place, and then the results will come. And I'm really excited to be involved in calling this one, because New York, they've stacked up their team in the last, you know, month or so, and they're playing some excellent rugby. And so I know you're going to ask me next, who's going to win, right?
Yeah, I was going to get to it in a minute. I was going to ask you a little bit about Seattle, Houston yes. first, if you want to do that, and then we could save the good stuff for last.
Yes, why don't we on this one? Okay, so let's go first New York and New England. So at home, New England obviously have been fantastic. They fielded a somewhat changed side in the last round of the season when New York won. So I'm not reading too much into that. So I think it's going to be a very tight game. It's going to be a bruising one, that's for sure. New York come with a big, strong pack, and of course have a brilliant back three. So that's going to be really interesting. Last time they played against the full strength sides, New York had to opt to kick quite a lot to get through this big, strong, aggressive New England defense. So I feel like they may have to do a similar tactic, but I see the Free Jacks at home winning this one by less than 10.
I agree with you. I think I'm pretty sure that's what my super booth yeah. says too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's awesome. So, and then moving into the West, we got Seattle undefeated in Major League Rugby playoff history, right? Never ever lost, which is a nice title to have. Taking on Houston, first time Houston's ever been there. They wind up hosting a Western Conference final after a few disqualifications, but they've had a great season as well. So, what are kind of thoughts on this one, and who do you think you have coming out of this match?
Yeah, so it really is a big one. Two teams that didn't necessarily think they would be in this position. Mm-hmm. But I would say the Seawolves are riding high. They really putting it together really nicely between their forwards and their backs. They have such a talented squad. I really like their chances. But the Houston Sabercats, you really can't write them out. As you said, they're having the best season they've ever had. They're also playing like a well-oiled machine. I feel like if they need to concede less penalties and no cards, of course, during their game. It's also going to be a very close one. The funny one about this one is I could see Houston winning. I can see Seattle winning. Yeah. So I don't know what picks you made on Super Brew. I would probably, if I had to guess, say Seattle are riding quite a high. But at the same time, the Sabercats, you know, would never write them off.
Yeah, I think I went on the show last week. I'm on record. I think Seattle's going to get it done. I think they're going to go back to the final. Yeah. And I think, you know, it just comes down, it's so cliche, but sports is so much about getting hot at the right time. And that's what they did. You know, they win, they beat a LA Giltini team to punch their ticket, you know, to get into the playoff in that last week with all the other weird stuff going on. And I think experience plays a role in it too. You know, they've been here before. They've got it done twice already. And I think that's valuable. That's stuff that you know, it's hard to learn. I don't think you can really teach it any other way other than just do it. So I think I have Seattle coming out of this one. And then I guess we'll move into the last question. Down, is this, you going to give your finals pick?
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, you know, so I was leaning towards Seattle as well. So I kind of, you know, thought about that. A home game for New England. I was at the last game when they hosted Seattle. It was a very close one, 24-22. Seattle scored at the end. But I feel like their pack from New England got it done for them. I mean, yes, they've got brilliant backs, and Waco is leading the charge there. So, again, I think the final will be a very close one. I think New England, though, you know, playing at home. And, again, if they can just continue that fun and that good vibe, it could be an unbelievable season for them. I'm always also a big fan of, you know, the underdog per se. You know, Seattle having won it twice already. Yeah. It would be nice to have another champion win, lift the shield. And again, it, to me, it obviously doesn't matter who wins, but right. It would be nice if there's a new champion.
Yeah, spread the love. I'm not opposed to that either. And I do think I kind of think it is going to be New England over Seattle in the final, just because again, you know, New England best team in the competition for a big majority of the year, and that does have value. You know, there's weight to that. And when you achieve the things that they have, and they've done stuff that, you know, hasn't been done in the MLR before, that definitely deserves to be considered. And I think that will play a factor as they move through the playoffs. So, Dallin, that's all I had for you. So if you wanted to, you know, push your socials, push Rugby Hive, whatever else you wanted to push, please feel free.
Yes, thanks very much, pal. Yeah, so folks can check out the podcast that I have with Rob McDowell, a former Canadian Sevens International and Sleek Sensation, at at Rugby Hive on the socials and at My Rugby Hive on Instagram. And then hopefully everybody tunes in, of course, this weekend to watch the doubleheader at Infinity Park. And then, of course, the Major League Rugby Western and Eastern finals on Fox Sports. We'll see you there. It's going to be sensational, more elusive than an alien.
Love it. Love it, Dallin. Thank you so much for your time, as always. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to catching up with you in 2 months. We got to do this again for Rugby Town Sevens.
Sounds good. Can't wait, Colton. Keep up the good work. That's up, my champion.
All right. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with World Rugby commentator Dallin Stanford. Thank you to Dallin for taking some time out of his day. Got a fun project with Dallin in the works here in the next couple of weeks, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Let's go ahead and move into the required reading portion of the show. And this is brought to you by Gilbert. Gilbert is the official rugby equipment supplier of the American Raptors. Visit worldrugbyshop.com to grab all of your Gilbert rugby gear. So I had a hard time kind of finding something for this one, but I did see an interesting thread on Twitter a few days ago from Sam Larner, who is a writer at Rugby World and for Rugby World Cup. He mentioned talking to Marcel Brackey a year or two ago about how innovation in rugby could help the United States. And he lists a whole bunch of tactics throughout this thread that have become commonplace in rugby, but at one time were considered to be out-of-the-box ideas. And that led me to an article that I found pretty interesting, within this thread. And it's titled, The Need for More Innovation in Rugby. And that's written by friend of the program, Alan Dimmick, for Rugby World. I will include the link in this podcast and the description of this podcast and the article that houses this podcast, of course, if you're interested in reading it. Nice and easy to find. But he just talks about, the need for more innovation in rugby, as the title suggests, about how, the coaches have kind of gotten lazy. And he highlights some examples of some people that have done some outside the box thinking. And this is pretty fascinating to me. If you paid attention to the show or some of the work I've put out, like the innovation side of it has always been pretty interesting. I'd like to think that this whole American Raptors project is pretty innovative. It's pretty outside the box. And it's cool to see that spill over. And I've touched on it extensively when it comes to football. I wrote the piece on, incorporating rugby attacking concepts into football offenses, the topic that PFT commentator has been pounding the drum for years. And I've had fun asking different people that question, and it's kind of cool to see it spill back over into rugby. And it is an interesting thought, like what if the United States came up with, just a little bit of a twist. They did something just a bit differently, and that gained them some success and kind of puts like an American stamp on the game of rugby. I think that could be pretty cool. So I would encourage you all to check that out. I'm going to try to get Sam on the podcast because I think that could make for an interesting episode. But read that article. Let me know what you think, and you'll have done your homework for the week. So congrats. Go ahead and move into the stat of the week. The stat of the week is presented by Catapult. Catapult is committed to making performance technology available to athletes at all levels, whether it's the biggest teams and organizations in world sport or amateur rugby players. Catapult helps monitor performance like the pros. For more information, visit catapultsports.com. So, stat of the week is kind of a boring one, but it's important nonetheless. Saturday marked the first time that this crossover program had ever been shut out. They'd never been shut out before, whether the Exos or the American Raptors. And I saw, I touched on a little bit about this with, my conversation with Dallin, but a lot of people taking victory laps, a lot of people pounding their chest, saying, oh yeah, this is such a bad idea. We knew that this was never going to work, this, that, and the other thing. And it's just kind of, it's confusing. You're sending mixed messages because how is this? I just have failed to understand like how this is bad. How is giving these guys an up close look at some top rugby in the whole world, where literally like this was Jaguares' top side, very close to their top side, playing against Olympians, you're playing against guys backups on the national side. I only think that could be a good thing, right? That gives you an opportunity to learn, gives you an opportunity to see the gap, how far you really do have to go, to be considered a top rugby player in the world. And this is a good measurement of it because people have said this about the Raptors program for a long time. Oh, they'll never do this. Oh, they'll never do that. And they always do. So not surprising that they got shut out. And they were close a couple times to getting some points on the board. But this is the first time it's ever happened. You think they played some good Uruguay sides, Uruguay A, obviously, last year, which was more of their developmental team again. But that's more the Raptors' speed. That's where they got to play. They the MLR Academy teams that they've played have given them a run for their money. Those are always good matches. But this is the first time they've ever been shut out. Again, honestly, not surprising when you look at some of the players that Jaguars brought with them. but it's good. It's good measuring stick. It's a good, you know, way to get a baseline. And downside it too. They're going to learn from it. They're going to be better for it. If they played him 15 times, it'd be closer every single time. I'm excited to see him kind of, you know, come out of the gate against Peñarol this week, because I do think that'll be more of a polished performance. And I think it'll be in large part because they took this big loss this week. So kind of stat of the week, not really, but it is one. I guess if you, you know, it's however you shine it up and you spin it around. That's my take on that. Just seems like a lot of people are taking victory laps when it doesn't really make sense, because I would like to think that, you know, that Jaguares team probably beats every team in the MLR as well. You know, you can make the argument maybe the Giltinis or somebody give them a little bit more of a run for their money, but I think that would be a big victory for Jaguares in the long run. So let's close the show with the Loop. First Bank's official banking partner of Infinity Park. They believe in banking for good, doing their best to do right by their customers, communities, and employees. Banking for good, member FDIC. You can follow along with everything we've got going on at DNVR Rugby on Twitter at DNVR_rugby and at Colton Strickler. I know we got a couple messages about people trying to, you know, look us up or share our links or anything like that on the website. They're getting a message. It's being looked into. Hopefully it should be resolved soon, but I promise you it's a safe website. It will not harm your computer, so feel free to click away. Something I've got going on, got coming up here, you know, pretty soon, something in the works I'm happy about and I'm excited to get started on. So I had an awesome chat with Sean Clark about the last year of his life, you know, just traveling around playing rugby, for a cool piece I'm writing about him. Keep your eyes peeled for that. It's fun to catch up with him since he's been back for this tournament, because he has really lived an interesting, you know, last year and a half of his life, you know, starting out playing rugby with the XOs, making the jump to the USA Sevens program. You know, he's in the pathways, gone to a couple of camps, playing Sevens for the first time in his life, and then making the move to the Jackals. Signed a trial, you know, a trial contract with LA last year. So he's done a lot of cool stuff in a pretty short amount of time, and I touched on all that with him. So keep your eyes peeled for that piece. It's going to be a fun one to work on, fun one to put out, and hopefully everyone enjoys reading it. Should have that one out in the next, you know, week or so. That's kind of all I got going on. So that's really all I have for the show today. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the conversation with Dallin. Hope you enjoyed the show. If this is your first time, please subscribe. Leave me a review if you feel so inclined. I really appreciate it, and that really helps me out. That's all I got for everybody today. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you had a great week. I hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy all the rugby this weekend, important rugby this weekend. We'll catch you all back here next Friday.